Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najjar. Blame game going on in the U.S. between President Donald Trump and Democrats over the death of two Guatemalan children at the U.S. border. President Trump claims the children who died in U.S. custody were already ill. 7-year-old Jacqueline Cal died in an El Paso hospital on December 8th, and 8-year-old Felipe Gomez Alonso died on Christmas Eve. Trump blames the girl's father for not giving her water for days. While the children's parents reject Trump's account and say that their kids had arrived at the border in good health. Trump has criticized Democrats in his tweet, saying that their pathetic immigration policies allow them to make the long trek, thinking that they can enter our country illegally. Now, what's wrong with U.S. immigration laws that President Trump calls stupid and pathetic? What will be the fate of Latin American migrants stranded at the border? Let's watch a report and then we'll start the debate.
The U.S. president has blamed the Democrats for the death of two immigrant children who lost their lives in custody. In a tweet, Donald Trump wrote that, quote, "Any death of children or others at the border are strictly the fault of the Democrats and their pathetic immigration policies." He also wrote that migrants would not be able to enter the U.S. illegally if the country had a border wall. However, analysts say Trump is to blame for the incidents as the children's death happened under his authority.
This is Donald Trump is a man who has never taken responsibility for anything that he's done. I mean, it's pathetic and really pathological. In some ways, his perception is really one-dimensional.
Meanwhile, the mother of the 8-year-old migrant boy who died in U.S. Border Patrol custody said he was not ill when he left his home country, Guatemala. An autopsy shows Felipe Gomez Alonso died of the flu. But his mother told the Associated Press that her son was feeling well before detention, despite Trump's claim that both children were sick before being taken into custody. She said he was healthy the last time they spoke on the phone when he was at the U.S.-Mexico border.
I could never imagine this. He was happy when he left. He called me and said he was at the border and he was having chicken for dinner.
Recently, a funeral procession was held for a 7-year-old migrant girl who died in U.S. custody earlier this month. Her death caused great anguish among family and friends.
She was a very emotional girl, dynamic. She was very happy. The girl herself took the decision to follow her father and told the grandparents that she was going to send money for the family here in this community of Guatemala. But unfortunately, she died.
Thousands of other migrants have made the same journey, citing gang violence or poverty. However, Trump has made clamping down on illegal immigration a central plank of his policy and has repeatedly tried to link immigrants with crime. Now, with anger fueling over the death of the two children, it remains to be seen whether or not the U.S. president will rethink his approach.
Now, let me introduce the guests who will be joining me in this debate today. We'll have James Fetzer, Professor Emeritus with the University of Minnesota Duluth from Madison. And Scott Rickert, former American intelligence linguist, who's joining us from Tampa, Florida. Now, beginning with James Fetzer. The back-to-back deaths have prompted an outcry from immigration activists, politicians, and human rights activists. Now, they are questioning the Trump administration's policies that separate children from their parents. Is their concern justified?
No, it's not, because Trump was elected to be the chief executive of the United States, in which role he has the obligation to enforce the laws of the United States. The child separation policy, for example, was signed into law by Bill Clinton. It was implemented by Barack Obama over two terms, during which he separated 89,000 children from their parents, and the media remained completely silent. Donald Trump has separated 1,200, 1,600 kids, and it's turned into a feeding frenzy, like a piranha attacking a body in the water. It's absolutely, totally political. You can go back and you can find major speeches by Barack Obama, by Chuck Schumer, by Nancy Pelosi, even by Hillary Clinton, talking about the importance of border security and opposing illegal immigration. There is no problem with legal immigration, but illegal immigration has become a major problem because it appears that George Soros and his allies have adopted the Kalergi program to flood Europe with migrants to destroy European culture and borders and national identity as a North American or Northern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere analog. This is completely outrageous. Judicial Watch sent a team of three into the migrant caravan. They discovered they were 90 to 95% men. This was not families that were fleeing some kind of political persecution. Many of them acknowledged they were coming because they wanted work, but work is not a justification for asylum in the United States. Mexico, by the way, has excellent migration laws, according to which you are only allowed to migrate into Mexico if you can show you have something to contribute to the good of Mexico and if you can show you have the financial resources to support yourself and your family while you are there. One of the problems with migration in a welfare state where we provide so many benefits to citizens is that it depletes the economy, deprives the American citizens of the benefits to which they are entitled by giving, in many cases, preference to these illegals. As Kanye West said in the White House about guns, legal guns aren't the problem, it's illegal guns. In this case, it's not legal migrants that are the problem, but illegal migrants.
Okay, and also, you know, there's been a visit by an official recently after these deaths, and also the U.S. Customs and Protection is speaking on starting to focus medical examinations on children below the age of 10. Some people believe that it's too little too late, don't you think?
Well, look, there are going to be deaths with a large group of migrants of this order traveling what has been estimated as long as 2,888 miles. The whole thing was a fantastic organized effort. It's purely political. We have videos showing the migrants weren't walking. They were being transported by truck. They had to have all kinds of support facilities. They had to have food, change of clothing, showers. One very famous photograph, which has been propagandized by the mainstream media, where you have the same photograph in virtually identical text in the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and so forth, shows this woman who's rather portly, very chubby, with children who are in diapers. Now ask yourself, is a mother gonna set out with children in diapers to go 2,888 miles? How many diapers would that require? It would have meant a van load, an 18-wheeler of diapers. The whole thing is absurd. It's politically contrived. That one of these children may have had a previously undetected heart valve defect is a possibility. We have a child here who's just reported to have died from a genetic brain disorder in California. This is all playing on anecdotal evidence that's emotional and appealing and ignoring the big picture. This appears to be part and parcel of the plan to destroy the sovereignty of nations and to promote the new world order, which is to benefit bankers, because then they don't have to worry about exchange rates between companies. They'd like, ideally, for all this to be put onto credit cards, so it's all done in digital transactions to benefit them while the bankers rule the world. This is a disgrace. This is wrong. It's improper on every possible level. The Donald is taking the right measures here by opposing it.
Now, let's go to Tampa, Florida. Scott Rickard, President Trump saying, if we had a wall, I'm quoting him, they wouldn't, the immigrants, wouldn't even try. And then he goes on to blame the Democrats for the death of the two children at the border. Who's to blame for the kids' death?
Yeah, what you have here is you have a consistent pattern with Donald Trump. He's constantly taken an approach with the continuous operations talking about immigration as an issue in the United States. You know, think about, you know, the United States is a country of immigrants. We have an absolute history of just a tremendous amount of immigration that has built the nation and at the same time destroyed the indigenous people in North America. Just look at the devastation of the American Indians and also the type of rhetoric when we talk about the the Mexicans and obviously the work that was done there prior to by the Spanish and French empires. So unfortunately, the United States has no leg to stand on when they're talking about trying to control immigration from a perspective that is extremely oppressive. When you look at the kinds of activity and the amount of focus that Donald Trump has put on this particular subject, he has spent a majority of his current administration just putting out one doctrine after another that has been extremely fanatical against immigration, when in fact immigration is one of the smallest issues in the country when it comes to the actual issues. You know, the kinds of things that James Fetzer was talking about, the banking infrastructure and the military-industrial complex, are far more devastating not only to the economic but to the global empires that the Americans are cooperating with, alongside the British, the French, certainly all of the NATO partners now, except for maybe Turkey. Now you really have a long-standing relationship with the United States and the United Kingdom and France and other European nations that have combined their forces in a way that have been devastating to the sovereignty of the United States. And this immigration policy issue is just a small portion, a very small portion of what's going on in the United States. And unfortunately, because of the kinds of focus and the kinds of personal responses that he's getting from his base, he continues to push it in order to gain momentum and keep momentum with his constituents.
Okay, Scott, I asked James two questions before he joined us, so the second question for you. Is the wall that President Trump is pushing for a solution to the immigration problem?
Well, absolutely not. You know, obviously the wall has been another basically campaign promise. They're talking about something that's going to cost between $50 and $75 billion. It's not going to be effective. You know, anybody that wants to come to the United States can come legally on a visa and then overstay the visa. And certainly individuals that want to come by boat and obviously tunnel under any walls and climb over any walls, they will. There's not going to be, if you really want to control borders, the best way to control borders, obviously, is through patrol and technology. And certainly the kinds of people that they're talking about, they talk about thousands of caravan migrants. Most of those migrants do go to Tijuana because of the fact that there is a much more easier program to get through the border than, say, through New Mexico or through Texas. At the same time as well, we're only talking about, thousands or even tens of thousands of individuals who are, attempting to even do this. This is not a major problem when it comes to the United States and drugs or obviously crime. There's more drugs and crime in the United States without the Mexicans coming in than the world can imagine. We are the largest consumers of pharmaceuticals in the entire planet. The U.S. Consumes well over 60% of the pharmaceutical narcotics, while it only makes up 5% of the world. It's unimaginable to blame immigrants on the crime and the drugs in the United States.
Okay.
Now, that being said, obviously, cartels and different types of drugs being brought into the United States are being brought through anything from South America through Mexico, but they're not coming through the border walls. They're coming by ship, and unfortunately, in the past, the CIA and other American intelligence operations have been a part of this drug importation and the horrible nature of the American drug addiction problem.
Now let's go to Madison to James Fetzer. James, Trump has threatened again to cut off all aid to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Now, the El Salvador government has rejected Trump's assertion that it's not doing enough to stop immigration. The Central American nation says it's made strides in economic and social programs to try to tamp down the root causes of migration. It's also pushed a media campaign urging citizens not to risk their lives making the dangerous journeys, especially accompanied by kids. Okay, let's have your take on that.
Well, if you didn't understand that this was an orchestrated event, that this migration is political theater, that it's financed and organized by individuals like George Soros, who's a champion of no borders and the New World Order, you might be taken in by arguments of that kind. But this whole thing is a fabrication. I have videos I have shown on my own news programs. We have big trucks hauling massive numbers of migrants forward. It's preposterous if you sit down and calculate how long it would take to travel this vast distance. You can see already on its face from simple mathematical calculations. The whole idea of this being legitimate and bona fide is simply preposterous. Donald Trump has probably done more in his 2 years in office over the opposition of the Democratic Party and the mainstream media to benefit the country than any other president in our history. He has strengthened the economy. His approval rating among Americans before the midterm was 50% because he's driven down unemployment, brought up employment even in the Black and Latino communities. He had an approval rating around 40% in the international arena. His intervention has led to improved relations between North and South Korea, which are now becoming quite amicable. Mm-hmm. He's pulling our forces out of course, Syria.
North Korea is waiting for the U.S. to take some measures. Okay, let's get back to the main topic. We're running out of time. Scott, President Trump has blamed U.S. immigration law on several occasions. He even called it stupid and pathetic. On what ground has he adopted this hardline policy against immigrants? Briefly, please.
Well, James Fetzer actually makes some good points when he says the fact is that a lot of these immigrants are being helped by the Democratic Party, individuals like George Soros. And the fact is that it is a politicized event. Certainly the left has taken their toll at pushing towards the Hispanics, the African American communities, and they've also made a huge event to try to increase their number of constituents through immigration. There's no doubt about that. At the same time, lauding Donald Trump's immigration policy and what makes him do it. The fact is individuals like James Fetzer and individuals that are on the right that are supportive of these anti-immigration type of laws. Fact is that, as far as I'm concerned, I'm all about legal immigration, and I certainly have every right for anybody in the world that wants to come to the United States. The United States has been thieving from the world for quite some time. And when you talk about what's going on with Donald Trump, his particular policy is absolutely focused on anti-immigration because he sees it as a channel to his
Scott,
constituents.
We are really out of time. Only 20 seconds for each of you. What's the recipe for the settlement of the immigration issue in the United States? 20 seconds, each gentleman. James, go ahead.
Well, Donald Trump is completely in the right. I'm an independent, not a rightist. I voted twice for Bill Clinton, twice for Barack Obama. But when Donald Trump is right, he's right on this issue. He is 100% right.
Okay, Scott, 20 seconds.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, I didn't vote for Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, or Donald Trump, and I certainly didn't vote for George Bush Jr. So I will say the fact is that what we have here is a country that we don't have a good handle on what's going on with our policies, and unfortunately we do blindly follow some very irresponsible leadership in this country.
Okay, I have to jump in, sorry, we're out of time. We had James Fetzer, Professor Emeritus with University of Minnesota Duluth, joining us from Madison, and Scott Rickert, former American intelligence linguist, who joined us from Tampa, Florida. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you next time.